Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Online sales available, Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Sunbury Motors Service Department open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Great to have you with us on the show today. All right, so we got a lot going on today. And we're going to have on the show Joe Lorig's Zoom conference today, special teams, linebackers, and the like. Neil Coulon returns to the show today. Contrary to what Matt said, Neil did come crawling back. And we're also going to have Gene Chizik, the former Auburn head football coach, won the national championship at Auburn, now with SEC Network. We're going to have him at 4:35 today. So there we go. That is today's lineup and today's show. And our thanks to all the people that have sent messages to me, which I appreciate, about how how much they've enjoyed how the show has been just churning along. We appreciate that very much. And Matt's done a great job on the news side of it. Although I did get part delight and part disturbing the picture I received from Cotrillo last night. I get this picture from him. Adorable little Luke Joseph, smiling, laughing, and then wearing this, I'm going to assume it's a rag.
It's a onesie. Let's get this right. It's a onesie.
My daddy and I are Eagle fans. And I texted to him, "The innocent never realize a bad road." I think that is so cool that the two of you are going to have that bond your whole life, and then you'll go over to some place that has Santa Claus, and then your kid's going to boo him, and then we'll know at that point he really is indoctrinated. And he started throwing snowballs at him.
Not that generation. He'll treat Santa with respect and dignity.
Why is that kid throwing snowballs at Santa? He's an Eagles fan. Oh. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. But that's what we have in the show today. And then Sal Palantonio tomorrow. Part one on ESPN2 last night with Sal, Greg Cosell, was just outstanding. An NFL matchup. Part two is tonight at 7 on ESPN2. Last night they talked about triple-level players, edge rushers, and hey, head up on man coverage, guys. It was great stuff last night. Chase Young was talked about, Isaiah Simmons, Jeffrey Okuda. Well, part two is tonight at 7 o'clock on ESPN2, and Sal will join us on the show tomorrow. As promised, by the way, his suggestion. He'll be with us at 4:06. And by the way, I thought his home studio looked great. Now that looked great, the home studio. give him a lot of credit. So we'll talk to him tomorrow. Story-wise here, we did have a second death here in Center County, but it was not at Mount Nittany Medical Center. The death actually occurred in a nursing home here in Center County. Now, which one, we don't know. We're at 77 now here in Center County, up 4. It's the first increase in nearly a week. All right. Now, it's a Tuesday, so sometimes those numbers are coming off a weekend, but just so you know, that's what the number is here. But 77 with now 2 deaths, the second one happening at a nursing home here. Now, where? I don't even know if the nursing home is in State College. I mean, the nursing home, it could be Bellefonte, it could be anywhere. But it was somewhere in Center County. So that's what we have here. I don't know what update you have there.
We had 6 new here today. Northumberland County's at 77. Union County's at 29. Snyder County's at 30. And Montour County is actually down. They had 48 yesterday, but it's 47 today.
So revised it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Any word on Ward 4 in Danville?
I have not heard.
Do you talk to him much anymore?
A few times a day, yeah.
A few times a day?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Doesn't he, I mean, haven't you suffered enough? Do you wake up every day and wonder what you did wrong? I mean... Okay, so Tim Kirchin does a great article today on Brady Anderson. Now, Dick from Milton is a huge Orioles fan, as you know. And Tim Kirchin does a great article on Brady Anderson. If you recall, they were acquired Brady Anderson from the Red Sox from Mike Boddicker. And he had one season that was magical. I want to say he had 52 home runs, some number like that. Okay. And it was just a tremendous year. Well, he was evidently a character beyond characters. So he tells the story that in 1992, Anderson was having a tremendous season. He was seated at an outdoor restaurant in Baltimore after a game when he was approached during dinner by some young guy. He tells me while I am eating that he was the high school sprint champ in Pennsylvania and he could blow my doors off whenever he wanted. So Anderson, in the middle of a season in which he was in the hunt for the American League MVP award, went into the restaurant parking lot, took off his shirt, and raced the young guy 3 times, crushing him 3 times. Because Brady Anderson was very fast. Brady Anderson was not a one-year wonder. He was a good player for most of his career. He was wildly athletic, great power, great speed. And now he's 56 years old. He was the kind of character. Now this is a story. Remember, this is pre-1994. So for the first time, he meets, of all people, O.J. Simpson. So this is pre-94. And this is the line that Brady Anderson approaches him on the running track at USC. Okay, they're on the running track at USC. He walks up to OJ and says, "Man, I loved you in Towering Inferno." Really? Which, by the way, OJ Simpson was actually pretty good in Towering Inferno, playing the security guard. But still, that's the kind of character he's. It's like the old Homer Simpson thing when they have Paul McCartney on The Simpsons and he says, "I loved you with wings." Oh my goodness. Oh man. So thought that was a fun story to look at. And if you're at Dick and Milton, I recommend that to you on ESPN.com. I think you'll enjoy Tim Kirchin's story with Brady Anderson. It'll also bring back some fond memories of some good days with the Orioles. But that was one of them today. Let's see. And we're going to talk with Neil Coulong today. And I've got to ask him about the backup quarterback situation with the Steelers. Now, I want to be fair about this. Because I thought slowly but surely, I thought Rudolph was getting a little bit better. And then when he got hurt, the guy that came back after the injury, after the concussion, was not the same kind of player. But the Steelers don't have a first-round pick. They do. He's called Minkah Fitzpatrick, so they already have an all-pro as their first-round pick this year. They have a second-round pick, and then, of course, then there's the third. If he's sitting there in round three, do you consider going after Jake Fromm? I figured I'd just broach the subject. I'm talking round three now. I'm not talking round two. I'm talking round three. Do you go with Jake Fromm? They did do, by the way, a test yesterday. The Bengals, there was a glitch on the Bengals making the first pick, and it took 2.5 minutes to work it out. After that, evidently things went a lot better. That's good. But John Elway admits it could put more of a strain on trades. And here's a slice that Sal gave to Matt. Miles Sanders is making the Eagles' second-round pick on Friday. Now, he was the second-round pick last year, thus it makes sense he makes the second-round pick this year. Imagine if it's KJ.
That would be epic.
Could you imagine that?
I want it to happen so badly.
I mean, Miles would be... I think Miles would go nuts.
He's on the record saying he will.
Oh, did he say that?
He did.
Well, that I believe.
That would be the best thing of this entire draft if that were to happen. And I think it's got a good chance to happen because KJ Hamler's already said that the Eagles have been in contact with him like at least 4 or 5 times the last couple weeks or so. So there's some high interest. And it's been that way since the very beginning.
Well, he fits. I mean, that would be a really good fit, by the way.
Absolutely.
A slot receiver like that and what they want to do, because the Eagles need more than one wide receiver in this draft. They need more than one wide out in the draft. Okay? As simple as that. And that would be wild. I've made the statement, but maybe you, the fans, can tell me. I've said even the most casual of casual football fans will watch the NFL draft this year. Because I feel like people are aching for something that is live and original. Well, the draft, albeit the simple picking of individuals to go to teams, is live and original. And I think there are going to be a lot of people watching watching every second of it. Okay, now I'm getting... I get all sorts of messages during the show. People asking you to do stuff. So let's see here. They want to do something for Penn State basketball in a great game. And what do they want me to do? Something about the library wants me to do something. Would I be a guest reader? Wow. They do something. I think they do library trivia. Oh, here. Trivia nights on Zoom. With the first being Library Trivia Night, Penn State Football Edition. And they asked... Let's see. Sue Paterno suggested that I be the guest reader. Oh, well, that puts a little pressure on you, doesn't it? Kind of hard to say no at that point. Oh, let's see. Oh, but the event is Friday, May 1st from 4 to 5. See, I wouldn't be able to do it. Be on the show with you. Wow. How about that? You could be the guest reader. It'd be like the big, is it like your big break moment? What do you think?
I've actually done it before.
You've been the guest reader for the Penn State Library trivia thing?
Well, not in particular, but I've been a guest reader before.
I see.
I was part of Reading to America during Dr. Seuss Week 2 years ago.
Yeah?
I read to fourth grade students at G.C. Hartman Elementary at Southern Columbia.
Wow.
So I do bring experience to the table.
This is tremendous. Maybe we could have, as the voice of Ward 4 in Danville would say, stream it. Streaming. Some people say streaming, and other people have like a little bent and twang to it. Streaming. By the way, how are our streaming numbers?
I know they've been good? Through the roof for some things that we've aired.
Well, there you go. Well, next half hour, Joe Lorig, special teams. Be great to hear from him, and great to hear from you always. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Online sales are cooking.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online sales now allowed. Go to the website for Sunbury Motors. And the service department opens 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. Service parts. AP reporting as follows. Minor League Baseball is prepared now to accept a proposal for Major League Baseball, which includes drastically cutting the number of affiliated minor league teams. J.J. Cooper of Baseball America reports, when MLB and MILB negotiators convene on a teleconference on Wednesday, multiple sources with knowledge of the negotiations say MILB will indicate that it agrees to 120 affiliated teams in the new PBA. Such a concession by MILB could clear a step toward a deal. MILB has now agreed to find ways to come in agreement on almost all of Major League Baseball's public demands. Now the question is whether MLB will be willing to accept the concession as a foundation for a potential deal. According to Cooper, if both leagues agree, it could mean as many as 42 current minor league teams will be eliminated, with short season and rookie ball gone. Both sides are working on a potential deal to ensure the majority of the 42 teams would still have baseball with ties to Major League Baseball in a new system that has long-term viability, Cooper adds. That's the key there. Both sides are working on a potential deal to ensure the majority of the 42 teams would still have baseball with ties to Major League Baseball and a new system that has long-term viability. Okay? So that's where that stands. I had a feeling this was going to happen because I thought that in this environment, especially with money tight, because they were actually, believe it or not, in February, leaning the other way, still cutting teams, but not 42. My understanding in February is that they had backed off on the 42 number, Major League Baseball. But now after this happened, with everything that's we've gone on now for the last 5-6 weeks, and Major League Baseball not playing, I thought it could shift back to that 42 direction. All right. Joe Lorig, special teams coach, works with linebackers. Chance on Zoom to talk with the media today.
Well, I'm sure you noticed Saturday people were pretty interested in that initial depth chart release with Micah being listed as the kick returner and his response on social media. Where do things stand realistically on Micah being involved in that competition and actually getting the football in his hands this fall?
Well, first of all, you know the depth chart thing was really just a perception thing. I think it was a little bit of us not all being in the same room when we went through it, because I just saw it differently when it went out. I saw the first two guys listed as the two returners that would be on the field, which is accurate. It would be Journey Brown and Micah Parsons. And then, you know, who's the returner? Well, it depends on which way they kick the ball, right? And I don't know which way each team's going to kick the ball. But I guess the perception was the first guy listed would be the returner, and the second guy would, I guess, be the off returner. It's just not how I saw it. So it wasn't meant to be funny or to fool anybody or anything. It was just, I guess, a difference in perception. But, you know, I think that Coach Franklin and I have had many conversations about Micah running the ball, getting the ball in his hands. Obviously, he was effective at that in high school, and we're certainly not afraid to do that. But, you know, he's back there listed as a returner, just like he was last season. And a lot of people don't just kick the ball to our right, especially if we're good on kickoff return, as I expect us to be. At the last place that I was at, they actually kicked away from our returner a lot more often than they kicked to him. So I think it's just a game plan thing. Certainly, we're not afraid to put the ball in his hands, but Journey's obviously a very, very, effective possibility also. So it's definitely out there as an option. Again, it wasn't meant to fool anybody. It was just the perception of how that was listed was a little bit different.
Hey, Joe. Rich Scarsella. When it comes to linebackers, how would you describe the relationship between Micah and Brent Pry, and what do you think makes it work?
Oh, I think the relationship is really, really special. You know, being able to observe it. Number one, it comes from the fact that they're both really good people. You know, and Coach Pry is a lot more than just a football coach to a lot of us, myself included. But I think he's like a you know, I wouldn't say necessarily a father figure, but like a mentor to Micah. I think it always helps when you personally recruit the guy, and it's your, you know, so it's in Coach Pry's area. So he would have initially, before I was here, obviously, but he would have initially identified him as a very young kid, started to develop the relationship. So it's his area and it's his position. So there's a longstanding history that builds that relationship, just like any relationship that takes time. And then I think Micah seeing that Brent, Coach Pry, I should say, is someone who genuinely cares about him and loves him. You know, if he didn't play football tomorrow, I don't think you'd see much, you know, besides the obvious not being at practice and those things, I don't think you'd see much difference in their relationship at all. They have the kind of relationship where they'll be talking on the phone and texting in 20, 30, 40 years, I guarantee it. So I think it's really a compliment to Coach Pry, and it's not just unique with Micah, it's with all of our players. But it shows his character and why he does this is because he cares about kids and cares about people. And I think everybody, and specifically since you're asking about Micah, see that, and it develops a genuine relationship that's much, much deeper than football.
Next up is Audrey Snyder, The Athletic.
Hey, Joe, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, Audrey.
I'm wondering a little bit about your punter situation now. Obviously, Blake was such a mainstay here. What do you like about Jordan Stout back there? And have you had any, you know, interactions with him? We saw him send out a couple videos earlier this spring on Twitter.
Yeah, good question. You know, it's kind of a unique situation. Thankfully, we got Jordan, you know, last year, who really is a combo guy. You know, we were going to take a punter in last year's class. We had all the top guys in the country at our camps, or I went and saw them, you know, depending on the situation, and just didn't feel like there was one that necessarily either we thought was good enough or one that was good enough that fit Penn State. And you got to be really careful with those positions because typically you only get one scholarship. So it's a lot different than, say, And I'm not saying you ever want to make a mistake, but to give you an example, we have, you know, 13 or 14 defensive tackles on scholarship. Well, if one of those guys doesn't quite pan out the way we thought he would, we'll probably be okay because you got 12 or 13 other guys, right? It's different with specialists because you just get one guy. And so if you're going to offer a guy, you got to make sure that they fit to a T every single category, from a talent standpoint, from a fit at Penn State, from academics, you know, all the different boxes that you have to check. And between Coach Franklin and myself and some of the kicking instructors that I respect and value, we just didn't think there was a guy that fit those boxes last year. And then it also turns out in watching Jordan through the fall and through the summer last year that we wouldn't have gotten a punter that was better than him anyways. I don't think there'll be any question of whether Jordan is good enough to fill in for Blake. And obviously Blake was fantastic. That's nothing to minimize his value. I just think Jordan's that good also. It's just going to be making sure that we manage, you know, him being able to do the kickoffs, the long field goals, and the punts. And what does that look like? A lot of people don't do that. You know, Oklahoma did it a couple years ago. They had a guy that did all three. He was drafted. I think that Jordan is that a similar caliber of talent, in my opinion. It's really just going to be managing the workload on him and making sure that one, you know, if he's becoming a great punter, we don't have any drop off on kickoff because we were really, really good at that last year. And so making sure that we manage the workload throughout the season, the off season, the you know, the game weeks, fall camp, all those kind of things, making sure that we're really conscientious. And I've reached out to a bunch of people that have been in this situation, you know, that have used guys for both in the past to see. I really kind of put it in baseball terms, like what's the right pitch count per day to make sure that a guy, you know, can stay healthy and do both. And so I'm excited about Jordan. I think he's going to do a really, really, really good job. He's very, very talented, and I'm really thankful that we took him last year because we really took him as a kicker, but because he's such a good combo guy, it allowed us to not panic and to be patient and make great decisions. And there's some fantastic punters in this year's class and in next year's class that we've identified that I think that, you know, we'll all be really excited about.
Next up is Donnie Collins, Times Tribune.
Hey, Coach, thanks for doing this morning. I want to follow up on Jordan a little bit. Are you guys considering him as the holder, and how does that mesh with his responsibilities as the longer field goal kicking guy? And as a follow up to that, how long does it take to develop a good holder? What are some of the intricacies you look for in that?
Yeah, so we are looking at him as a holder. You know, obviously, when you go to a long field goal, then you'd have to have a different holder, right? But Jake Pinniger is also very capable of doing long field goals, just so everybody knows. It just when we charted it in the fall, there was just a slight difference on the short field goals and a slight difference on the long field goals. It wasn't like there was a major difference. So Jake, you know, could also do all of it. There are some nuances. I won't get into the details of the techniques because I think that'll get boring for you guys. For me, I'm really simple, and you know how I develop a holder. I ask the kicker who he wants, because the number one thing is that they are comfortable with that guy. Obviously, you know, it's like some people use quarterbacks or receivers. The advantage to using a specialist is that's all those guys do all the time during practice. So if it's a quarterback, he might do it in 10 minutes before practice, but then he goes and focuses on being a quarterback, which I think we all would like him to do, myself included, right? If it's a specialist, that's all they do every day for 2 hours is work on their special, unique skill set. So you know, Joe Calcagno can do it. Bradley King can do it. But honestly, what I do is I pull the guys in individually, whoever it is, whether it be, you know, for instance, you saw Jordan was listed the other day. Well, that's because I asked Jake, if we went out tomorrow, you know, obviously we wanted spring, you know, we all know that. But if we went out tomorrow, who would you want to hold? And he immediately said, Jordan. So there, that's my answer, right? And so it's not something I'm worried about. It's not like it's a not an important skill, because when we go to kick a game winner, everybody in the stadium and myself and you guys, it'll all be really important then. But it's not something that I've ever not been able to find a guy. We'll have a guy and have a competent guy. Who that is today, honestly, I just, without spring, I can't say it. But I know if we went out today right now and kicked a you know, a shorter field goal, Jake would kick it and Jordan would hold it, if that answers your question.
Next up is Mark Brennan, Lions 247.
Hey, Joe. KJ obviously did so much for you guys as a return man last year. How do you go about replacing him, given that you don't have spring practice, and how many guys might be in kind of the mix for both of those jobs because you have so many players who were talented return guys in high school?
Yeah, you know, we've got a bunch of guys that I'm really excited about. You know, one of the things with KJ, and it's to take nothing from him, obviously KJ's a spectacular talent, but people just didn't kick and punt to us. And when they did, the punters were oftentimes scared. You could tell they'd been overcoached during the week, and they didn't punt well. You know, we only had 21 returnable punts last year, and people just didn't kick off to us very often. You know, for instance, in the bowl game, I was at Memphis, obviously. I know their punter. He's really, really good. Well, their coach, him and I talked before the game, they actually instructed him to punt out of bounds. So I don't have it right in front of me, but their punter's average, I think, was like 43 or 44. Well, against us in the game, it was 33. So basically, every time they punted the ball, they just gave us a first down, right? So, again, KJ's phenomenal. So, but I actually expect better production out of those units because I think people won't know as much about our guys. And so at least early on until we prove we are what I think we can be, I think people will kick and punt to us without as much fear. And that may open up some more possibilities for better play in the return game, which I expect.
Next up, we have Greg Pickle, Penn Live.
Coach, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Hey, you mentioned looking at specialists in the last class, obviously looking ahead to the future now with Coach Smith saying last week that this class is probably going to be a little bit smaller than the one you signed last year. Do you think a specialist has to be a part of the plan this year? And how do you evaluate those guys, especially with the potential of not having not having camps maybe or a reduction in camps and spring evaluation opportunities because of everything that's going on?
Yeah, good question. So I don't think you ever want to paint yourself into a box of saying you have to take a guy in a certain year because, as I've already outlined, when you only get one, man, you can't make a mistake or it'll set your program back a long, long way. So we'll never paint ourselves into that box. How you want to do it, though, in a perfect world, so everybody's aware, is you want to, when your guy's going to be a senior, okay, you want to sign a guy in that class. So you would, in a perfect world, sign a kicker, for instance, in this 21 class, right? Because that way they would come in when Jordan and Jake were seniors, right? They would be able to learn from those guys, watch what those guys do at practice, see how they handle game day, see how they handle game week, see how they handle the off season, all those kind of things, and really get that year under their belt. You know, from a football standpoint, from a strength and conditioning standpoint, from an academic standpoint, from a social standpoint, and then that next year, they're ready to go, and you feel like they've had a year in a college football program before they have to walk out in Beaver Stadium in front of that big crowd, because that's a big stage to be on, and especially when it's just you. You know, just it's people don't realize it's more spotlight than even a quarterback. I mean, everybody on kickoff is staring at that kicker, right? Everybody on field goal, everybody on punt, everybody is looking at that guy. And so it's an abnormal amount of pressure for guys. So you really want to bring them in, redshirt them, let your seniors finish up, and then go forward that way. So obviously with that being said, you would like to get a punter and a kicker because you're going to be in that situation in you know, both positions, depending on how things work out. Guys still develop and everything. We have guys in the program that will still develop. But in a perfect world, you'd like to do it that way. In a small class, you know, sometimes you can have guys be preferred walk-ons. You could gray shirt people. You can sign them in that class. I mean, there's a lot of different variations of how you can do things. The thing that I respect and appreciate here is our head coach values special teams. So he understands that Blake Gillikin probably had just as much impact on us winning as Sean Clifford, right? And again, that's a compliment to Blake and a compliment to Sean. I don't mean that in any other way, but I could go through. Jordan Stout had just as much as, you know, so-and-so. We were number one in the country in special teams efficiency, which basically is basically gauges field position, right? And if you don't think field position helps you win football games, and I'm not saying you don't, but if people don't understand that, they're wrong. It's a major, major factor. And it had a big impact on us in a lot of games last year. Michigan comes to mind. I don't have it in front of me again, but, you know, I remember the Sunday after Michigan started like five times inside the 20 or something crazy like that. So Coach Franklin recognizes that. So But like I said, we'll never paint ourselves into a corner. If we need to wait a year to get the right guy and the best guy, we'll do that. I'm on top of it. It's what I do all day, every day. And that combined with the fact that Coach Franklin puts an emphasis on it, we're always going to have good specialists, and I'm going to make sure that we do.
That is Joe Lorig, Penn State special teams coach, also works with Brent Pry with linebackers. We will come back, Neil Coulong, next half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. I know something that inside the station that has been a big adjustment for Matt is when we play the bumper music, the suit tends to dance to it. I know you miss seeing that.
Well, I can't totally fault him for that one because sometimes I'm dancing myself. I'm sorry, I had to admit it.
I have to. I don't really know Lisa that well, but each day goes by, I sympathize with her more. I don't really know her that. I mean, I met her a few times, but got to admit, I don't know where you're going.
She appreciates the sentiment.
I'm sure she does.
I keep her updated.
She needs to. She's also getting more publicity on this show than she gets on any other show.
You know what? It started since Luke was born, honestly. It's just kind of,
he's a star.
Kind of rolled since then.
He's a star, by the way. Yeah. Although that, I mean, you put him in a clown onesie? No?
I beg to differ on that one.
It's something about Daddy and I are an Eagles fan. I think at some point he needs a vote. I'm telling you, by the time he gets to three, you're going to be rejected. You're going to wonder where you went wrong, and I'll be able to pinpoint. Ha, 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 ha.